invite you, if you are able, to stand as we hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ as found in the book of Mark, chapter 5. Jesus and his disciples came to the other side of the lake, to the region of the Gerasenes. As soon as Jesus got out of the boat, a man possessed by an evil spirit came out of the tombs. The man lived among the tombs, and no one was ever strong enough to restrain him, even with a chain. He had been secured many times with leg irons and chains, but he broke the chains and smashed the leg irons. No one was tough enough to control him. Night and day, in the tombs and in the hills, he would howl and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from far away, he ran and knelt before him, shouting, "What have you to do with me, Son of the Most High God? Swear to God that you won't torture me." He said this because Jesus had already commanded him, "Unclean spirit, come out of that man." Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" And he responded, "Legion is my name, because we are many." They pleaded with Jesus not to send him out of that region. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the hillside. "Send us into the pigs," they begged. "Let us go into the pigs." And Jesus gave them permission, so the unclean spirit left the man and went into the pigs. Then the herd of about 2,000 pigs rushed down the cliff into the lake and drowned. Those who tended the pigs ran away and told the story in the city and in the countryside. People came to see what had happened, and they came to Jesus and saw the man who used to be demon-possessed. They saw the very man who had been filled with many demons sitting there, fully dressed and completely sane. And they were filled with awe. Those who had actually seen what had happened to the demon-possessed man told the others about the pigs. Then they pleaded with Jesus to leave the region. While he was climbing into the boat, the one who had been demon-possessed pled with Jesus to let him come along as one of his disciples. But Jesus wouldn't allow it. "Go home to your own people," Jesus said, "and tell them what the Lord has done for you and how he has shown you mercy." The man went away and began to proclaim to the 10 cities all that Jesus had done for him, and everyone was amazed. Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please be seated. Now, first of all, let me just kind of try to take care of something here. Do y'all feel bad for the pigs? I heard a couple of moans in there like, "Oh, goodness gracious." First time I really, as an adult, heard this story, the preacher was just doing a great job. He was from the Midwest. He was a farm boy, and he said, "For a good farm boy, this is a terrible waste of pig." So I know. And so let's just acknowledge that. And if we could, just for a bit, set that aside, because it's hard. And then the other thing is, this story has a lot to do with the issue of behavior that could be understood as mental illness within our context. And there are, you know, truly overlaps in that story. There's also the reality that there is evil that prowls around inside of our world and inside, really, of us sometimes. That's demonic. And I'm not going to, like, try to lay too much into We can just blame that on the devil because, you know, the devil's kind of prowling around, that sort of thing. Because I think the devil gets too much credit. But I think that there are things that we have to kind of have a sweeping understanding of, a broad understanding of, including the fact that mental illness is a significant problem and is an issue that a great number of people are dealing with in very open ways and in very quiet ways. And that there are also things that are inside of us just chewing us up and having a party and doing it. So if we could just kind of acknowledge that and for a moment set that aside. This story oftentimes is referred to as the story of the Gerasene demoniac. In fact, when I was kind of working through this particular sermon, the working title was the Gerasene demoniac, all right? So let me just kind of be clear that the man's name is not Gerasene, okay? It's not Mr. Demoniac. This is a title that is given to the poor person who is possessed by all these demons. And it is never really kind of labeled as that in the scriptures. It's interesting that sometimes we have labels for things that we think of as part of the scriptures. Certainly he was from Gerasene. And a demoniac is a person who is understood to be possessed, right? But and that's the best title that somebody could have given in church talk, I guess. Church talk sometimes occurs inside of our scriptures, but not really. This is one of my favorite Bibles. It is the Common English Version, the translation that we use in church here, but it also is a study Bible. Maybe you have a study Bible as well. And study Bibles have notes in the bottom. It's hard to see that in the bottom. Notes in the bottom of them. And you can kind of like read a commentator's version of, hey, you know, this probably means this. Or this is an interesting kind of factoid about that. But honestly, not all of this stuff is created equal. Okay? So some commentators kind of have done their homework, and some are like, well, this is what I want you to think about this. And sometimes the names of certain stories get transmitted. That's why we call this the Gerasene demoniac. But in reality, this is a person that we're dealing with. He is from Gerasene, right? But he's also a human being. So let's set aside, if we could, the whole demoniac thing, the whole Gerasene demoniac thing, and just think about this for a moment. This person is about as far away from what Jewish people would have understood at that time, as far away from God and holy as possible. Let me explain that. He is a person who has been in a terrible place mentally, right? He is chaos. But in some ways, he has stopped being him. Think about this. We have no name. He has lost his name. He has no voice. The voice that he speaks in is that of the demons that have possessed him. It's not like you would hear Bill talking. You would be hearing all the mess speaking. I don't know about you, but to lose your voice, it's just a terrible offense. It's a primary thing. I can't speak for myself. Let me speak for myself. And frankly, he has lost the capacity for him to act of his own accord. He runs around naked, okay? There's a great deal of degradation in all of that. He's just personally crushed. Now, for Jewish folks, the context would have been really telling too. He is from Gerasene. Now, if you look at a map, you would see the Israeli territory on one side of the lake, and on the other side is this Gentile region. So, you know, good Jews don't really have anything intentional. You know, they don't mess with the Gentiles over here, all right? Can you all play Gentiles for a little bit? Thank you very much. Just zoom out with me. Now, we might trade, you know, we might kind of like work things out with each other from time to time, but in reality, you are not us, and you are not of God's people, and so, or worse, much worse. So there they are on the other side of the lake, right? And they are herding pigs. They eat pigs. Now, did you know that Jewish folks have a dietary law, and it's really active, very active in the time of Jesus, where you would not have had a ham sandwich, all right? You would not, because pigs are understood to be unclean. These things are not what you're supposed to eat. Talk to your cardiologist about that. You can make your own decisions about that. By the way, also shrimp are on that list. For those of you who are not in the room, there was a general, "Oh, really?" Okay, so that shrimp wrapped in bacon that you love so much is a sin. And it's not only that, it makes you so unclean that you have to go through several steps to just kind of purge your body from that. This is always interesting when people say, well, we're going to live like, you know, we're going to live biblically. If you take that seriously, shrimp and bacon are off the, by the way, camels off the list too. Good with that, yeah. Okay, so there's a whole conversation about living biblically that we can have here, but the point is that for the people who are Jews, including those people that surround Jesus, including those people that heard the gospel of Mark, this would have been, oh, no, they are in there, and he lives among the tombs. By the way, being around dead people, touching dead things, that is also a huge violation within Jewish understanding of what is clean and unclean. He lives in the tombs. He is residing near pigs. He is among the choir. You cannot get as far away from the understanding of who God is and what God desires as this person. This person is as far away as you can imagine. You cannot go that low, that far. But Jesus does. See, the most amazing thing about this story is that Jesus says, I'm going to cross the way here. We're going to the choir. We're going to the choir. And we're going to enter into whatever relationship that the choir will have with me. Right? Yeah. And truthfully, remember the end of the story? They say, Jesus, leave. The choir kicks him out of town. Thank you very much. Still for that man, still for that soul, what happens? For that soul who is as far away as you can get, Jesus says, who are you? Unclean spirits, come out. Because you're mine. You're mine. I don't care who you are or what you've done or how far you may feel like you are from even being acceptable. I don't care who you might think you would have offended or who you believe that you have become. The good news that comes from that set of tombs is that God will enter into that relationship, will work with you, will enter into that, will cast the mess out into the pigs to where you can find yourself restored. He lost his family. What does Jesus do? He sends him back to his family. He's lost his livelihood. He's lost his connection with community. You know, we're social beings. We need each other. We need people with us, right? And what does he do? He brings him back in. Sure, he has a job for him to do, but he restores him first. Jesus has a job for us to do, honestly, but there's restoration for us too. And you cannot go, you cannot be beyond the capacity of the good news that comes from the tomb. Now, you've heard of Easter, right? The good news that comes from Easter, from that tomb, is your good news as well. Jesus' resurrection is your resurrection as well. My invitation to you is to spend time with the one who would love to talk to you about those demons. Maybe identify them, maybe name them, maybe kind of go through the process of sending them out. Because there's redemption and work for us to do. And I say all this to you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.